I believe this is God's word. I choose to believe what it says. Because God does not lie, His word does not lie. I choose to live His word and believe His word. I believe God will do for me exactly what His word says. I believe it and I receive it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.
Y'all sound like you
glory to God. Wendell, you'll probably have to help them make an adjustment on my mic. It's probably way too soft. That was a joke. Well, tonight we're going to talk about more than conquerors. I've been wanting to do this for some time. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about the difference between the temporary and the permanent. And the temporary is everything you see, everything you know in the natural. The permanent is the Word of God. And we're really going to get into that next Sunday. But tonight we're going to talk about more than conquerors. Now this is a lesson. I don't ever do this in its entirety, but tonight we're going to do this. It's a lesson from Joseph Prince that I wanted to share with you. But the thing is, it's been customized and expanded according to the leading of the Holy Spirit within me. You can't ever preach somebody else's message. It just don't work. It just, you start studying, it becomes your own. Not that I haven't preached on this dozens of times in my life. But tonight we're going to go to Romans chapter 8 and start in verse 31. So follow along with me and we'll see what the Word of God has to say. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us how many things? All things. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Have you ever been accused of anything? I mean, slanderous, no doubt, but have you ever been said something bad said about you? He says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? So what your focus needs to be then is the next part that says, it is God who justifies. Well, let me ask you a question, church. Has God justified you? So it really doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, and that especially includes the enemy. Verse 34, who is he who condemns? Anybody want to take a shot at who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, it is also risen, who is ever at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. You ever prayed for somebody and knew that you were standing in the gap for them? Do you understand that Jesus is standing in the gap for you? Jesus is making intercession for you, in other words. He already stood in the gap, didn't he, between heaven and earth. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake you are killed all the day long. Now that's an Old Testament. I think that's in Psalms. Might even be Isaiah 53. It says, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Now, that's not by God. That's only a wolf who would be looking to come against sheep. Verse 37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I want to start off tonight by telling you, you are more than conquerors. How many of you are clear tonight with me that you are more than a conqueror? Since that didn't get to everybody, I want to say that again. You are more than a conqueror. Someone can say, I'm the conqueror, I'm the winner, I'm the victor, but hear this tonight. You are more than a conqueror. Turn me down just a hair, please. You are more than a conqueror. So if God's Word says that you are more than conquerors through Christ, then guess what? That's exactly what we are. Now, so many times we're not in alignment with what God says. People don't see themselves as more than a conqueror. And, you know, I was thinking about this today. There are many different avenues, many different messages being preached in the earth today, but not all of them say that we're more than conquerors. Some say that we're barely get-alongers. Some say we're barely going to make it in. You've probably heard someone said this before, if I'm going to make it in, it's going to be by the skin of my teeth. You've probably heard someone say this in church, pray for me that I'll get to heaven somehow. Well, if you're born again, I got news for you. That's the somehow. It's not a barely get along. It's suffer. Some people believe we got to just suffer till we get there. As a matter of fact, I probably have shared this, but someone said to me this, if you're called to the ministry, you're called to a life of suffering. I said, well, that's not the ministry I'm called to then. That's the wrong ministry. Now, I have been in that ministry before when my understanding was different, you understand, but I'm not in that ministry. So whatever that person is talking about, I can just say this to them, that doesn't describe me. I want you to hear this tonight, church. We are not going to become conquerors. We are already conquerors in Christ. We're not going to become the victors. We are already victors. Yet it seems like there's so many things we have yet to conquer. And because we keep focus on the things that we have yet to conquer and gain victory over, we keep finding ourselves always trying to become a conqueror and gain victory over them because we're not looking in the right place. We need a new way of seeing ourselves. So we're not just conquerors, but we're more than conquerors. Tonight even, you may be experiencing some failures, some setbacks. But it's not because it's God doing it to you. God has nothing to do with it. And God will take the negative situations that people are facing. If they'll trust Him, God will take those negative situations and turn them around for your good. See, whenever something does slip in and some bad thing occurs, understand that God will take that. God didn't cause the bad thing, but God will take that and turn it around so you get blessed. Why? What is that saying? That God was about blessing you the whole time. That's all God cares about, is blessing you, advancing you, moving you forward, moving you into a place of being an example of the finished work of the cross. You can ask our worship team. I don't like none of that pre-cross stuff. Let's sing post-cross stuff. I mean, that's what it's all about, what Jesus did and where we're at because of Christ today. So if I harp on one thing, it's post-cross. Not post-nasal drip, it's post-cross. That other stuff is under the curse, and Christ redeemed us from the curse. We know that God is working for our good because He says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. And He gives a description of all those things. And all of those things, I would say this, that they're descriptive of just about everything in some category or another that we can deal with in life. And He said, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Romans 8:31 says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I want to tell you one more time what Joyce Meyer said, and I heard her say this publicly when she was still in smaller churches. She said she found herself in a very difficult place in her life, and she said that she was crying out to God, saying, God, I've lost my family, I've lost my ministry, I've lost everything. I have nothing left, God. What am I going to do? All I've got left is You. Well, you understand, if God's on your side, what difference does it make who's against you? I got a letter in the mail. It's got to be one of the goofiest letters I've received in the ministry. They didn't put their name. And it's even from out of state. And it's like weird to the max. And so my thoughts are this, if God's for me, who really cares what anybody thinks? Even if they got to find my address, it's easy on the website. Even if they got to find my address and send me some goofy letter that sounds religious but makes no sense, has no spiritual meat to it whatsoever, just sounds religious, sounds prophetic, but I mean, it's ready for the shredder. I was reading it tonight and praying over it. What does it matter if everybody's against you, if it looks like everything in life's turned against you, but God is on your side? Which one's more important, the greater thing I hear that looks bad or the one thing over here that is greater than all the bad, and that's God who's on your side? If God is for us, who or even what can be against you? So when are we conquerors? When do we have the victory? We have it now in Jesus, right? And you didn't get it today. You got it when Jesus died on the cross. I want you to say this with me. Say, I have the victory now. I'm not going to get it, but I have it now through Jesus. Let's go to Philippians 2, starting in verse 9. I fell into this today, not that I haven't seen it before, but it's just really beautiful. It says, therefore God has highly exalted Jesus. It says Him in your Bible, but it's talking about Jesus. And given Him, not a name, I know the original King James says a name, but it says the name. Or we could say it this way, the name. Which is above every name. Now I want to interject a word there, that God has given Him the name which is above every other name. We know that says that in Ephesians more or less. That at the name of Jesus, every knee, say every knee. Every knee should bow. So whatever has knees that's coming against you, and you use the name of Jesus, guess what they got to do? That knee's got to bow. Of those things in heaven. So if there's anything going on in the heavens, this is not talking about someday, way off in the future, when I die and get to heaven. Someone was preaching this week and said that we know that the heaven that we're going to, where God is and Jesus is on the right hand of the throne, is the third heaven. I don't care which number it has. Okay, so that's not, wherever God is, that's where I'm going. But the point is this. Whatever this is talking about, the heavenly. So whatever's going on in the heavenly realm, the spirit realm, where there's angels and there's demons and all this stuff's going on, the Bible said that of those in heaven and of those on earth. And then it said of those under the earth. I got a question for you. Without going on some geological survey tonight or journey, and thinking about what's under the earth, and there's the ball, if you've seen the movie Journey to the Center of the Earth, or the one where the earth's core stopped moving and they had to go down there and get it, blow it up and cause it moving again. Forget all that stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. What is under the earth? It's everything that's under your feet. So what's under your feet? Don't tell me dirt. Of course, you could call them dirt. Demons. He is a dirt ball. Demons, he's a scum sucker. He's a scum bucket. Whatever name you want to call him. Demons are under your feet. So he said, not only just the things that are in the heavenlies that's got to bow to the name of Jesus, but everything on the earth. What's coming against you in the earth realm? I would venture to say this, it originated either from the heavenlies or from under the earth. Okay? So here, there's a warfare that goes on in the heavenlies. There's a spirit world, but there's also these ugly, lying, stinking, filthy demons under the earth, and somewhere it ends up in the middle on the earth and manifests in your natural sight, in your natural that you perceive by your natural senses. And the reality is, all of that has to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. See, that's why you're not just a conqueror. That's why you're more than a conqueror. Because in Christ, you can't be anything other than more. I mean, no, that's the motto of the church, has been for some time now. There's more. There's more. All right, so he says, everything in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue will sit up and take notice when you confess or proclaim the name of Jesus. You know what? I believe that even demons, we talked about Sunday, how that the Bible said, you know, we believe and therefore we speak, and said even demons believe. And sometimes we think believing's enough, but it's not. We need to do. We need to practice the Word. We need to do the works that the Bible says have a corresponding action to our faith. But the truth is this. Even a demon will have to back down and say, yeah, they've been using the name of Jesus again. I got to back off. I've been trying to really push the lies in this season. But they're using that name of Jesus. And they got to back off. You know, the Bible said that Jesus, in the book of Luke chapter 4, it's not in your notes, but the Bible said this, that when the devil came to Jesus after 40 days of fasting and prayer, not that he didn't mess with him in the 40 days, but those three times that it gives us record, and those are only three of the times it gives us record. I believe there were other times. It says that every time Jesus responded with the Word, why did Jesus respond with the Word? We respond with the Word sometimes, but sometimes we just cry out, Jesus. Well, John chapter 1 tells us that Jesus is the living Word. He was the Word made flesh. So Jesus, in essence, was responding with Himself. He was responding with the Word of God. And when Jesus responds with the Word, it is the same as the name of Jesus being spoken. When you respond with the Word, that is exactly what God's Word says, not some religious concept of God's Word, but God's Word, the enemy is hearing the name of Jesus. He don't like the Word. He don't like the name of Jesus. And so they set up and take notice. They back down. Their knees bow at the name of Jesus. God has placed us in Christ. And the Bible said that God exalted Jesus to the highest place in the universe, the highest level. And in that, Jesus won the victory for us all. This is what I want to say to you tonight, that you don't have to go out and try to win the victory. As a matter of fact, can I just say it this way? This is not in my notes. I didn't study this, didn't think about it, but it's on my heart right now to say that if you go out and try to win the victory that Jesus already bought, it's the same as slapping Jesus in the face. He did the work. He did the work. It's done. How come we don't get that? We need to rest in the finished work of the cross. I have watched some situations of late that I stood in the finished work of the cross. I just kept trusting Jesus. You know, that's not a bad place to be. And you know, you get to that place where you're believing God for something to change, and all you're saying is something based on the finished work of the cross. I thank you, Jesus, for the work that you've done. I thank you, Jesus, that is complete. You may be a situation in your life where it might be healing. We talked a little bit about allergies. Allergies don't start out as some big thing. It's maybe a little sneeze or a little scratchy eye. And we put up with that because it seems normal in this natural world. But what we're going to talk about next Sunday is a week from Sunday, rather. I won't be here Sunday. A week from Sunday is how we're so focused on the natural world because we've been trained to see and notice everything that goes on around us so much that almost becomes a savior to us. That is vital information, spiritual information for some people. People get their insight from the natural world many times when really that is temporary, subject to change, and it will change. But the world of the Spirit, the Word of God, will never change. You can go to the bank with that. You can trust God that His Word will never change. And so we need not be a people who are trying to get the victory, trying to become a conqueror. If I can just hang on just a little bit longer, I know I'll be the victor. Then you got the wrong message somewhere. You were taught something coming up that was incorrect information. You are the victor now. And until we get a new mindset, and that's why in July we're having once again our annual Renewing the Mind conference, until you get a new mindset, change the way you see yourself, I would say this, chances are, unless God just chooses to give you a miracle, you're not going to see your situation change. I'll never forget when I came into the revelation of Hebrews 11, 6, that said, without faith it's impossible to please God. And I remember studying that over the years, over and over and over and over, and I was studying and saying, I know that without faith, I've never believed that doesn't mean not having faith, because it's impossible to not be in that, to be in that situation, because the Bible said God dealt to every man the measure of faith. Well, if you look in your Greek concordance, you'll find out that it's talking about not exercising your faith. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, look at the word please. Now who would ever be concerned about the word please? Because I want to please God. I have wrote about it. I've preached about it. I've talked about it. Exercise your faith and you'll please God. But the word please in the Greek means to be fully agreeable with God. Get in faith, but watch out what you're getting in faith about. Don't get in faith with the negative. Don't get in faith with some religious nonsense. Get in faith with God's Word. Be fully agreeable with God. Well, Pastor, how long do I have to stand when I'm standing? Keep standing when it looks like it's not going to come. And I'll tell you, sometimes it's right at the end that it gets the hardest. But keep saying what God's Word says. Keep looking to the finished work of the cross. I remember signing my book, Keep Looking to Jesus. Keep looking to Jesus. That's the best advice I can give anybody. Keep looking to Jesus. But it's hard. Keep looking to Jesus. What do I do next? I heard Kenneth Copeland say on a CD just yesterday. It's just as simple as this. Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. What about when it looks like it's not going to work? Have faith in God. What about when things are falling apart all around me? Have faith in God. Don't stop having faith in God. If God's Word says it's so in your life, then you can trust that it is so. No matter what or how long, just keep standing. You say, well, that's easy for you to say. Well, no, it's no easier for me than it is for anybody else. It's just you have to make a decision to know that Jesus already won the victory for you. We're not trying to get the victory. We already have the victory. In the Old Covenant, the Old Testament oftentimes was talking about possessing the land, such as in the book of Joshua. We're not trying to take the land of healing, for example. And many are. We're trying to conquer this thing about healing. We're trying to conquer sickness. You know, Jesus already conquered sickness, right? So how about this? How about we just relax in what He already conquered? We're not trying to conquer the land of prosperity, or the land of peace, or the land of protection, or even the land of favor. Do you know when you get a mindset that you have the favor of God on you, you will pull in parking lots, and there will be no parking space just till you get close enough to where you're supposed to park, and a car will pull out, and you'll get that parking spot. What do you think that's called? That's called favor. That's the favor of God. You're not cheating somebody else out of a parking spot. God reserved that for you. When you go to a place of business and you know you don't have time to stand in line between 20 people, and all of a sudden 15 of those got an emergency call and they got to go somewhere. I don't know if that's a real good illustration, but you can see the favor of God. God will just help you. Maybe there's a reason you can't stand in line. God will fix it so you don't have to stand in line. I believe in God's favor. I've seen times where we weren't supposed to, something wasn't supposed to happen, and it did because we trusted God's favor. So again, it's not a land we're trying to possess. We are already in the land, and we possess it now. Have you ever said to your flesh, you know, you're giving me a lot of fits, but you need to understand you're healed, so you need to quit acting the way you are. You might as well give in because I am the healed. I'm not the sick trying to get healed. I am the healed. So flesh, just in case you didn't get the memo, I'm serving you notice. You're healed. Start acting like it. You say, well, when does that change? When you change. When this changes. When you begin to declare that I'm healed and that's all there is to it. We don't confess God's Word to get victory. We confess God's Word because we already have the victory. So I want you to think about this. All those confessions you make daily, it's not that I don't make confessions, but all those scriptures you use every single day because you believe in your heart that the more I confess these, the more I will get. We're not confessing the Word. This is what people misunderstand about what we teach. We're not confessing the Word to get the victory. We confess it because we're already victorious. We're just agreeing with Jesus. We're just agreeing with God's Word. We don't fight for the victory. We fight from victory. Next time there's a situation, it doesn't matter if it's family or financial or some bad report from the doctor. Take on this mentality. I'm not fighting to get the victory in this situation. I'm fighting from the position of victory. I already have the victory. I remember a couple of Fridays ago, 2 weeks ago, tomorrow, was it 2 weeks ago or a week ago? It doesn't really matter. The doctor said, we need to do this test and see if there's bladder in your cancer. I simply said to him this. But see, you all knew what I meant, see? See, you all, see, it's the visitors that don't understand me. Y'all know how to translate what I'm saying. Okay, for sake of the CD and the millions listening around the world, cancer in the bladder. I said to the doctor, the cancer thing I'm not worried about. That's not even a concern. Why? Because I was already established in my heart that was not going to be an issue. I just, you know, acted like a baby. I just don't want to have the test. I wish I'd have listened to me. Nonetheless, everything's good. So we don't fight for victory. We fight from the position of victory. I want to read you part of the scripture in John 10:10, and I'm going to read the first half in the New Living Translation, just because I love the wording. It says, "The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy." The thief's purpose. Can I just say this to you? His only purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. If you've ever been an employer and you've taken someone's job application and they've had to give you a description of their qualifications, here is the enemy's MO right here. This is his job qualifications. He steals, kills, and destroys. And can I add this? He's not very good at it. I guess I was speaking about this church. He's not very good at it. But we're learning some truth, amen? And I know that he steals, kills, and destroys in many people's lives, even people in the body of Christ. But I'm just telling you, and it may be my own faith confession just about this church, but he is not very good at it. But the devil will try to steal your victory. He will try to take it from you. But the truth is, when he comes against us with lies that promote fear, those fears, if he can promote fear with a lie, some bad report, and that fear begins to rise, that tension, let me say that tension of fear, it will trigger in us to be conscious of failures and weaknesses and symptoms in our health. And then we just start thinking about everything that could go wrong. Well, what if this symptom means this is wrong? And what if this problem means there's something bigger coming down the line? And so lies trigger fear, which trigger other things, and we start thinking about all kinds of stuff. Don't tell me you've never been there. But what if it's really this? And then what if it's much worse than I even think, and it's this? It started out with the enemy's lies. Remember, when Jesus said, again, from Sunday, when he said we're to speak to the mountain, Mark 11:23, the truth is, and thank God for this revelation in this church, that every mountain started out a molehill. And when we take care of the molehills, we never have to face mountains. I mean, who wants to deal with mountains? How many know how hard it is to deal with mountains sometimes in faith? How many of you understand how easy it is to deal with a molehill? So I would say this to you, that when there's a sniffle, deal with it right then and there. When your eyes begin to get itchy and watery, deal with it right there. Don't begin to proclaim, well, it just runs in my family, we all get it. Well, there's some things my family gets that I ain't never going to get. Can I say that again? Never going to get. Never. I might be handshoe in DNA, but I had a blood transfusion and the blood of Jesus runs through my veins. Hallelujah. We need to understand that, church. Just because somebody else wants it and somebody else is willing to live with it doesn't mean that we have to. Praise the Lord. We're not trying to get healed. We're already healed because God's Word declares that by His stripes we were healed. I want to read to you Isaiah 53:5 from two translations that parts of them don't say exactly what we would expect them to say, but they say some things that will really touch us tonight. The Complete Jewish Bible says, "But He was wounded because of our crimes." Now, we didn't commit the crimes necessarily, but we inherited those crimes from Adam. "Crushed because of our sins. The disciplining that makes us whole fell on Him. And by His bruises, we were healed." When I read that, the first thing I said, those were more than bruises. They were stripes, okay? But this Bible translates them bruises. Well, so does the next translation, but there's still some more information. In the Young's Literal Translation, it says, "And He is pierced for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is on Him," not was on Him, is on Him. "And by His bruise, there is healing to us." Healing to us is the reason I read that translation. Healing to us. Healing has been provided. I want to tell you something. If somebody who is a blood relative of mine, or somebody who is a friend of mine, or somebody I go to church with, is proclaiming that I'm just sick and it runs in my family and this is just the way it is, you know what I do? The first thing I don't do is I don't agree with them. I proclaim the Word of God over them. Now, again, I'm not trying to say, look how great and wonderful my faith is. What I'm trying to say to you is you can do the same thing. You don't have to agree. I understand that people can have what they want, but I'm still going to believe God for His best in their life. At some point, they might get the message. They might get the memo and change their mind. I wanted to say this, basically because it doesn't fit anybody in our church. You can be seeing a psychiatrist, and I remember when I was in the hospital, pressure on my spine, and I was paralyzed in both legs, and because I wasn't sad enough, they sent a psychiatrist to see me. Now, my little brother had just committed suicide, and my wife's dad had just died, and her brother had just died, and I was supposed to be sad and depressed, and, you know, I can't move my legs, and I'm supposed to be depressed over that. And I'm telling you, the joy, I laid there in that hospital, the joy of the Lord flooded my soul. I got my computer and got my Bibles out, and I'm studying the Word of God every day. And so because I wasn't sad enough, the psychiatrist comes in to see me, and so I just start telling him about Jesus. Go figure. But you can be seeing a psychiatrist if you're dealing with something emotional. Listen to this. And you can hear the Word of God preached and begin to proclaim it over your condition, and all fears will be removed. Panic attacks cease. Are you hearing me? And become totally and completely whole. Why? The Word of God. That's the power in the Word of God. Again, when Jesus said what the Word said to the enemy, he was also hearing the name of Jesus, because Jesus is the living Word. And that's just an extreme case scenario. Only Jesus can set you free from all medications. If I ask for a show of hands tonight, I'm sure that we would have a fair number of hands of those who are on prescription medications. I'm still on some. But I'll tell you what, it just amazes the doctor every now and then when I say, you know, have you checked out that medicine lately? I don't really think I need to be taking that. Now, here's what's going on. Would you agree with that? And, you know, because the Holy Spirit always lets me know when it's time to shake another one loose. As a matter of fact, I have a Greenfield filter in my main artery, and I'm not going to have to take Coumadin the rest of my life. Now, you understand this, that the one I have, 2 years later, they came up with one that was removable. So at the point I had one, they're not removable, but I'll just surprise them. I mean, they'll believe in Jesus when they see God take care of that situation. Well, it's always got to be this way. I am not accepting that it's always got to be a certain way. It's my body. It's not theirs. Paul said to bring my body under subjection. That's what I'm doing. It's not theirs. It's mine. So you already have the victory before you get well. And I think the reason that I'm seeing what I'm seeing and some of you are seeing what you're seeing is because you understand you already have the victory even if your body hasn't cooperated yet. What is your body not cooperating with have anything to do with it? You're believing in the finished work of the cross. I remember pastoring 15 years ago when I had hurt my back, and I'll tell you what, we were confessing the Word, and to this day I can't explain it all to you, and it doesn't boggle my mind, so I have no need to go to the Holy Spirit and say, why did that happen? Because if I were to be asked that question, I would say, I don't care. God wasn't finished with me, and He raised me up, praise the Lord. But I remember every preacher that I can imagine coming by and praying for me, and I've been sprinkled with anointing oil, and the sign of the cross with anointing oil, and poured on me anointing oil, and laying in the floor, and standing up, and sitting down, and I still became bedfast and went through back surgery. You say, well, can't you explain that? I don't care. My life is wonderful today. I don't care. I got the victory before I faced the incident. All right, so maybe we're not on the same page, but I kind of think we are. So God's victory that Jesus won for us helps us to overcome every challenging situation in our lives. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. These words are so wonderful. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are trying to get the victory and you're saying it's through Jesus, for it to be through Jesus, you got to go back to what Jesus did. Can I say that again? If you're trying to get the victory and you think it's through Jesus, but you're not looking back to what Jesus did, then you need to take another look. You have the victory through Jesus, through the finished work of the cross, through what Jesus did for you. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. I'm glad he worded it that way. He gives us the victory through Jesus. So giving us the victory didn't come at some appointed time in our lives after the cross. We got the victory. He gives us the victory through Jesus. So when did we get the victory? Through Jesus, when Jesus died on the cross. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14 says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ." And let's just stop there for a moment, because I know that the original King James says, "who always causes us to triumph." But here it says in the New King James, "thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ." So if you're in Christ, the outcome is always being triumphant. That's always the outcome, because you don't start out in defeat trying to become triumphant. You start out in Christ, where he won your position as a triumphant individual. So in Christ, I am triumphant. In Christ, I am victorious. And then he goes on to say, "and through us diffuses," the word diffuse here means to pour out and cause to spread freely, "the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." So as you walk in the victory Jesus provided for you, and I'm about to tell you why it's important that you walk in the victory. I'm going to tell you why it's important that Christians walk as conquerors and walk victoriously. Do you know the world has watched the church? And do you know other believers, weak believers, religious believers, have watched what we call the victorious church, and they've watched us in our bad times. They've watched us having our moments. They've watched us having our outbursts. They've watched us losing our cool, and they'll stand back and say, "and you're the triumphant church." But let me share something with you, and I'm not trying to condemn anybody, but I want to share something with you I believe that will make you free, that'll help you to get where you need to get going. As you walk in victory, as you embrace the mindset of one who is already a conqueror, one who is already victorious, you leave behind a fragrance. And this word fragrance in the Greek simply means a scent. You leave this scent behind of his knowledge everywhere you go. Why? Because I keep walking as a victor. I keep walking as a conqueror. I keep walking as one who is more than a conqueror, one who is an overcomer. And everywhere I go, I have that attitude and that mindset and that expression on my face that says, "I am a conqueror in Jesus Christ." And everywhere I go, I leave behind a scent. You know what happens with a scent? If you're out chasing some animal, you're trying to find the scent. Okay, so the world's going to be looking for the scent. But when a believer who is spirit-filled, who knows the word, but is still living in defeat, knowing that victory was bought for them, you also leave behind a scent. You ever found a scent you didn't want to follow? You ever drove up to this church and found a skunk scent on the property? I'm here every day. I'm telling you. That was a scent. I didn't even care where it was. I just didn't want it near me. That's not a scent you want to follow. Now, there's a pot of ham and beans. A steak cooking somewhere. Barbecue. Man, that's a scent I want to follow. Like, you know, where's it at right now? And so, when we walk victory, in the victory that Jesus bought for us, that's all I'm talking about, just what Jesus paid for, we walk as an overcomer, then we leave a scent behind that the world wants to follow. A scent of victory. A scent of a conqueror. A scent of an overcomer. Now, how many knows if we blow it, we go to Jesus and confess it to him. We tell him about it. He forgives us. We receive forgiveness and we are cleansed of any deeds of unrighteousness. But isn't it beautiful, though, to know that we can walk in victory all the time? Somebody will say this to you. I've heard it before. You'd have to just be so perfect. You know what? Jesus was even made perfection for us. And if you walk in Jesus, you can walk in perfection, even though your flesh don't cooperate sometimes. So we're a work in progress in the flesh. But in the spirit, we're a lot different than we see ourselves in the natural. All right, Romans 8 verse 32 says, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, Paul's talking about here not necessarily a post-cross situation, but he's really preaching a message that when Jesus went to the cross and the Father delivered up his own Son, he did it for us all. And what Paul's saying is, don't you think, he's trying to convince some folks, don't you think that if God went to all of that to deliver up his own Son, if he did all that, don't you think he also would freely give us all things? Well, the answer obviously is yes. So we need to embrace the things that God has given us. How many know we have constantly gone over Ephesians 2:8, the word saved in the Greek, sozo. And in that is, I mean, when I got born again, see, years ago, all I thought I was doing was getting saved from hell. Well, do you know in that word in Ephesians 2:8 that saved from hell is also there? I'm glad. How many's glad you got saved from hell? How many's glad you ain't going there? I canceled my reservations. I'm not going there. Don't try to talk me into it because I ain't going there. Somebody can try to tell me that, you know, well, you made a mistake, you messed up, you ain't going there. Don't try to tell me that. I'll take that immediately to Jesus, and Jesus is my intercessor, and then you got to take it up with him. And if you don't like what Jesus has to say, then you go talk to the Holy Spirit. And if you don't like that, then you got to listen to his Father. But the truth is, I ain't going there. All right? And so, in that, he also gave us healing. So I got healing when I got born again. Here's what so many believers have a hard time with, is I also got prosperity when I got born again. I also got the promise of long life when I got born again. I got the promise of protection when I got born again. But so many of us have been brought up in a mentality that says, as soon as I live my life for Jesus long enough and earn it, I can have those things. Can I just say this to you? That's false doctrine. And I've been guilty of preaching some of that in my life. But I've learned. How many glad we learned? How many know you believe some things now that you didn't think you could possibly believe 10 years ago? And so he freely gives us all things. So I want to ask you a question tonight. Are you willing to make a stand? Are you willing to take on the mindset of one who is a conqueror? Not going to be a conqueror. Man, if I could just get the victory over this thing. You are the victor. And as long as you have the mentality, if I could just, I've had that before, if I could just get the victory over this one area that keeps hanging me up, you already are a victor. How about go to Jesus and trust him with the victory he's already provided for you and watch how easy it is to gain the victory in that situation. And I'll tell you this, if it's even a person you're having a problem with, if I could just get the, every time I get around this person, they just say that, they just know all my hot buttons. And when they do, man, I go off. If I could just get the victory over that one thing, Jesus, you already have the victory in Jesus. How about change your focus from the one that pushes all your hot buttons to the one that created you to be calm, cool, and collected? Jesus. The chastisement of your peace was upon him. Who's chastising me? That one's pushing all your hot buttons. But Jesus took the chastisement of my peace upon him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Where did he pay for it at? It was called with a crown of thorns. So your mind doesn't have to be in turmoil. He paid for peace of mind. And that's also in your salvation package. All right? Verse 35, I'm just going to wind this down with the last few verses, then we're going to make a profession of our faith. Verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, I haven't really addressed this. What is those things that it just takes someone saying the wrong word or something going wrong on the job or that grocery store that you have to go to, but you know there's this person there you don't want waiting on you, and you'll try to go in another line because if you don't, they always mess with you. And it can't really separate you from the love of Christ, but in our mind, we think we just feel so abandoned by Christ because after all, I just lost my cool, and I feel so bad, and God's probably mad at me, and he's ready to kick me around. No, he's not. That junk's from the devil. He's lying to you. But he says, well, tribulation... Well, if you face some tribulation, Did it separate you from the love of Christ? Now switch that around, because what you're thinking is I'm talking about you loving him, but did it stop him from loving you? Your strength doesn't come from how much you love God. If you think your strength comes from how much you love God, you're going to keep going without strength. The Bible says we only love him because he first loved us. But his perfect love causes all that dread, all that anxiety just to disappear out of our lives when we stay focused on how much he loves us. Can you imagine this? Remember we talked about a few weeks ago when Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit descended out of heaven like a dove, and there was this voice that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And I asked you the question based on some New Covenant writings. I asked you the question, what would you do if you heard the voice of God speak to you and say, "You are my beloved child in whom I am well pleased"? I think one of the first things, I don't think we'd have a problem with, "You're my beloved child." I think we'd have a problem with that, whom I'm well pleased. How can you be pleased with me, God? Do you know what I did last week? No, that's kind of a dumb question. He knows exactly what you did last week. And you know what he did with what you did last week? He went to the cross with it 2,000 years ago. You say, "No, that was 2,000 years ago, and I'm talking about last week." Yeah, he paid for it. Again, I'm not preaching to you there's no consequences for your actions. I'm saying that Jesus paid for it. And so, tribulation or persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, whatever you're facing, if you can remember that God loves you, even when you're not at top notch today, don't kick yourself around. The devil will try to kick you around enough. But even when you're not operating on full thrusters today, God still loves you. Now, if you can remember that, you'll start operating in a lot more ease. Verse 37, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." So he defines it right here. It's based on him who loves us, not on we who love him. Oh, if we could just love you more, Jesus, forget it. And he's not going to love you more. He loves you enough. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. And he even made a place for you in heaven. So you are more than conquerors in all these things. So can you see yourself as a conqueror just because he loves you? Not because you're doing so well. Remember, we talked about how that in the New Covenant, it is totally based on the performance of Jesus. In the Old Covenant, it's based on your performance. If you did good, you get a gold star. But man, if you mess up, you get the consequences. Well, in the New Covenant, Jesus took the consequences upon himself. All right, verse 38. "For I am persuaded." Now, I circled this and highlighted it in my notes. I am persuaded. Are you persuaded? I am persuaded. I am 100% persuaded that neither death nor life, not even angels — this is why I believe he put that here, we know not to worship angels — nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, verse 39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able. Let me ask you this. What is able to move you? What is able to move you? He said that none of those things or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. It's God's love. God is love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So you're not starting out looking to be a conqueror. You are a conqueror. I want to ask you this. Go to bed tonight and wake up in the morning with a new mentality that says, "Tomorrow, I'm not going to try to get the victory, you know, that thing I dealt with today, and I know I'm going to deal with it tomorrow, and boy, if I can just be victorious over that." Let your day end knowing that you are a victor in Jesus Christ, and watch that thing be dealt with tomorrow in a whole new light. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves us. Thank God for the vastness of his love. He loves us. And I just love when he said, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" If God is for us, who can be against us? If God loves me, what difference does it make what anybody else thinks? And we're not trying to be mean with that. But God's for us. God's not against us. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. And everywhere we go, we release a fragrance, a scent, that someone says, "There's a person who walks in Jesus. There's a person who walks as a conqueror in Christ Jesus." Praise the Lord. Did you get anything out of this tonight?